It's the Two Smokes Podcast with your hosts, Thundersnow and the Wiggle Rat.
I'm sorry, I was doing Grooves in the Heart.
Hi, welcome back to the Two Smokes Podcast. I am the Wiggle Rat, and across from me is Thundersnow. And we kind of wanted to go ahead and do sort of another worked example for this epistemology problem that we're seeing. And we wanted to do that by looking at the way we seem to have microcultures now and how that fits against the social contract, right? Again, and you'll have to forgive us a little bit, folks, because we will get... We were not going to discuss politics, of course, because we never do that.
No, but never.
These ideas do sort of lend themselves to political discussion. So even though we won't be discussing politics, if this particular episode makes you want to discuss politics, don't be surprised. I'm certainly not saying you should go out and discuss politics. I'm saying that you may get that inclination.
Politics are merely the symptom. That's that you will recognize some of these things and apply them how you choose.
All right. We'll go with that. Because that appears to clear your conscience.
Oh, my what?
Exactly.
I do not know this word. What is this conscience you speak of?
Scruples? Scruples? I've been vaccinated. I ain't got scruples. All right. So there are a few things that you know, how we do the show. Normally we try to do a little background building. And then we try to move into the immediate applications of that background building. And then we try to go ahead and in, you know, about the last 20 minutes of the show or something.
Then we'll tell you how to fix it.
We try to go forth and show you why this stuff matters, right? So I guess we should probably start by discussing what is the social contract, right? We all agree to live together, right? And, you know, whether you want to or not.
Right. You maybe not agree might be a strong term, but we choose to.
Well, we agree, if nothing else, in by not moving.
Right. Yeah. lack of moving signifies your agreement.
Well, and by moving, I also mean we're also not punching our tickets.
Right.
Right. We're also not checking out. We're not hanging ourselves. We're not shooting ourselves. So society is at least livable.
It's only October. There's still two more months in 2020.
I don't think it's going to get that bad, at least not now the lockdowns are lifting.
I'll be singing Mystify in the Closet in Excess, in Excess's Greatest Hits. That's me. God.
Folks, if you're listening to this, please do not choke yourself while you're masturbating. There is no nut worth strangulating yourself for.
I mean, yeah, I know quarantine's still in effect, but if at all possible, find someone else to strangle you,
you know,
while you masturbate.
Oh, God.
No, Mom, it's not what I look. It's not what it looks like, Mom. I promise. Unless it looks like her choking me out while I masturbate, because if that's what you saw, that's what was going on.
Thundersnow's opinions do not reflect the thoughts and opinions of the staff, management, or any living person. But so, whenever we talk about the social contract, how do we get along? What does that social contract entail? Right. Well, one of the ways we do it is through governments. We all agree to be governed in a certain way. In our country, of course, it's democracy or, you know, republic or however you want to view it and describe it. We may not all agree on everything about the government, but at least we know what it is.
Right.
Right. If I say American democracy, you know what I mean.
Right. And I mean, that scales from, you know, federal law all the way down to holding the door for the neighbor that's trying to get in the elevator with their arms full.
Yeah, there is a level of civility there, a level of implied order.
Sure. Right? It's bringing those little poo bags with you when you walk your stupid dog, that kind of thing.
Okay, and then from there, of course, we have economy, because arguably, we interact with more people on a financial level than we do on a friendly or an emotional
level. The almighty dollar.
You goddamn right. We love that shit.
And the buck stops everywhere.
We love that shit, because we know how many people at the bank are held aloft by, you know, every time we make a mortgage payment, that includes that interest. Every time we do this, we do that. Everybody gets their cut. So we affect a lot of people just through money.
You may be a tiny cog, but you're an important cog.
Exactly. Okay, so one of the other things that we do, though, the other ways that we do is common culture. America has a lot of pretty subtle dialects still left in it, right?
For what they're worth, yes.
For what they're worth. The point is that to this day, people in California, when they speak, for example, sound differently than people from the Bronx or people from Houston or people from Georgia.
Sure.
Okay? So, again, just there, and along with that, there are other culturally provincial things. You know, I love complaining about Texas is the only place where you can find kolaches.
Right. Except for the fact that it's not.
Well, again, I'm not a well-traveled man, but yeah, where's the other place you can find kolaches?
I've eaten kolaches in several other states. Now, they are not as prevalent as they are in Houston, for sure.
I didn't see one kolache shop in New York.
Well, yeah, but you also weren't looking.
To be fair.
And to be fair, go find a decent slice of pizza in Houston.
Dude, we have great pizza in Houston. What are you talking about?
I knew that was coming.
We have great pizza in Houston.
Dan's thanks you.
Oh, dude. Dan's has good food. Fuck it. I can live with that.
But no, there's you know, different food, different words, different things, right? There's still some of these differences. The issue is that, you know, the world has gotten larger, but at the same time, it's gotten smaller. So we're not defined by those things anymore, right?
Right.
You know, moving south when I was a kid and asking for a pop, that no one knew what the hell I was talking about.
Interloper.
But today,
right,
people would point out that it's odd because down here it's Coke.
Yeah, yeah.
As it should be. I mean, I fully agree with it.
All soft drinks are Coke. Yeah.
But today, people would still notice that it's happening, but they would know what that person means.
Right.
Right? Just with the prevalence of learning everything there is. You'll go find a list of here's crazy things, crazy terms people use in other parts of the world.
I think one of my favorites is the weird, discontinuous regionalization of, do you remember those small insects that whenever you touch
them? Roly-polies.
Okay.
Pill bugs.
Right. For you, roly-polies, or for some other people, pill bugs or poo bugs. Mm-hmm. For me, they were doodle bugs.
See, that just seems stupid.
Trust me, it sounds as stupid to you as whatever you're calling them sounds to me.
Roly-polies, that's what they're called.
That's what they're called for you.
What do you call the little sticker things that get stuck on your socks when you go outside barefooted?
Oh, cockerbers?
Yeah, see, we call them stickers. Hence the reason me asking, what do you call those little sticker things?
Well, the point is that we share that common culture, but in that common culture, there are also certain provincial beliefs that we hold. And, for example, I know that whenever we think of who's Catholic, normally we think of Latinos, for example. But okay, we have an entire state right next to us that has a rather large population of African Americans, and they are predominantly Catholic in Louisiana.
Fair enough.
Okay, so, but the point is that we have beliefs that are just as provincial, right? So it's not just culture, but it's ideas that construct that culture that unify us on a somewhat provincial level.
Right, but as things change in modern times, and as people are exposed to other cultures, through the internet, through any other forms of media, they have the ability to pick and choose, right? So you're still exposed to it, but you're also exposed to other things.
Sort of, but most of that doesn't stick. And I think probably a really good example is the fact that we all kind of know what it means to be Texan, right? But the idea of what it means to be Texan inside of the Houston city limits or the Dallas-Fort Worth city limits,
right?
Or even the Austin-San Antonio corridor is arguably going to be a bit more arguably liberal, for lack of a better word, a bit more progressive than it is way out in the middle of the Weeches or Palestine or Crockett or,
right,
you know, Woodville or even further out west, like near El Paso.
Right. Yeah. If you get out into the sticks, right, you'll see slightly different things. But even then, in a lot of these areas, there's still, you know, there's a tendency to use these stereotypes, especially the negative stereotypes, because they're more fun and they last longer, right?
Right.
You know, to make assumptions about people based on their geographic location.
Right.
Right. So, oh, you know, you live out in the woods.
oh man, that must suck. You know, you're just out there in the middle of red country and, oh God, that's got to be horrible. No, I've got satellite internet from Elon Musk and I work for a company in California and I make, you know, $200,000 a year. I don't pay your taxes. I don't do any. No, as a matter of fact, I think I'm pretty good here. Yeah, I'm doing well. Well, yeah, but how could you be? You're out there in friggin' Petticoat Junction land.
Right.
You know, where the guy down the street's got two teeth and one of them's on layaway. But all of those stereotypes, right? There are Japanese fanboys in Montgomery, Alabama.
Yeah.
There are furries in, you know, think of somewhere really deeply religious. Fuck it, Montgomery, Alabama.
There you go.
You know, these things, these different demographics now, you know, I'm sure 20 years ago, it's probably still not cake to be a LGBT person in some of these areas.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's certainly infinitely more doable today than it was 15, 20 years ago.
I would agree with that statement in general, but again, because I'm not LGBT, I can't really speak on it with authority.
I know, but we're mansplaining. Have you not read the reviews of our podcast? Come on, man. You got to get with the times.
Okay, so the important thing here is that our governance, our economy, our common culture, and our common beliefs all sort of combine to go ahead and form the social contract that we use to connect with our neighbors. Now, please understand, this is a very vague term. What your neighborhood is, what your society is, that is a pretty flexible term.
Right? Sure, and getting more flexible as we go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. The people that I have things in common with that I identify with these days don't have to be anywhere geographically near me.
Absolutely. So what we have to do is, you know, we talk about how this ability to share that commonality, you know, through law, through money, through common experiences, and our agreement on certain facts produces that social contract. But one of the things that we've seen is this rise of self-individualism, right? I don't want to use the term identity politics because that's kind of one of those poison words.
Yeah, it's loaded for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just talk about instead the philosophy of personal experience, right? This concept, I know that you despise it. I know I despise it too, but know this, I'm going to tell my truth.
Right.
I know it. I lived it. You listen to me.
Exactly.
And that is kind of weird, right? Because we all have this belief that we know what we saw, even though
it's proven that, what you saw and what you recount are two different things.
The only thing worse than human memory is human perception, right?
But maybe human judgment.
Yeah, exactly. But it's what we have and it's what we work with because it's what we got. So we live in this and we all have these very, very personal and individualized belief sets on things that are working actively against that social contract.
Right.
For example, religious beliefs, I would say, have gotten much, much more individualized and personal.
Oh, certainly. And while they're diluting, they are actually shrinking as well. So that just aids in the disparity.
Just having a religious affiliation, you know, as atheism continues to try to find some purchase in the United States.
Right. Well, I mean, it's found a purchase. It will never be a majority, for sure. Again, it will never be more than a very opinionated minority.
Never is a long time.
Well, okay. In never in the history of what's left of this country will they be a majority.
Okay. But
20 years from now may be a different story. When we're in the Republic of Texas.
Goddamn right. And the first thing we do is we're getting our land back all the way up to fucking Idaho.
Why would you want any of that?
Because it's ours.
That's where the Christmas trees come from.
That's where Christmas trees come from. But no, we also keep individualized ideas about even these innocuous things. Have you ever looked at like fitness magazines and all the different kinds of diets and workouts there are there?
Yeah.
Oh no, you have to do this keto, paleo.
Yeah, don't do cardio. You're an old man. Cardio is just going to grow you tits. That's my favorite one right now. That's my absolute favorite. No, it doesn't matter what you eat. I mean, you just need to get in there and you need to shred, bitch. You need to get in there and lift heavy and lift often.
More gains.
Right. Well, because what's going to make you lighter on your feet is by developing more mass.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, everybody knows somebody who thinks they have that one killer diet.
Oh, well, this person did it. Yeah, it worked for Susie.
Yeah. She ate nothing but, I don't know, cabbage and tomato soup. Do you remember that diet?
No, I don't remember that specific one, but I also remember that the guy that did the Super Size Me thing lost 15 pounds in the 30 days he was doing it.
Right.
Here's an idea. If you hate what you're eating, you'll eat less.
He could have lost that same 15 pounds eating Alpo.
I've got 3 pounds of friggin' almonds in my pantry right now that will attest to you that I'm not snacking near as much as I used to.
Because fuck almonds, that's why.
Because you know what? The Doritos miss me. They call to me, but I have to tell them no.
I don't have that kind of control. I got Doritos in my fucking pantry right now.
You're in here all by yourself. I'd be fucked if I was in here all by myself all day.
No, I'm just in here huddled down, lights out, air conditioner up. You know, kind of like scrunched over in a corner like fucking Gollum. Fucking precious.
See, whereas if I buy a big ass bag of Doritos, I often have to buy one of those little bags of like the ghost pepper chips. And then I give them to Taco and he mixes two or three of them into the bag of Doritos. And then he hands it back to me and may the odds ever be in your favor.
Actually, how bad do I want the next one? How bad do I want it? No whammies, no whammies, no whammies, and stop!
Yep.
But, and it's not just this. One of the things that we've seen, one of the really, really weird things we've seen is the fact that people have these very, very different medical perspectives, right?
Oh, certainly, yeah, with the vaccines and this and that and the other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you should get this procedure done. You should get a lap band. You should get a tummy tuck. You should get...
The mommy makeover.
Oh, God, yes. And like I said, although it's fallen off this year... Last year, do you know how many women at pub told me they had refurbished vaginas?
I don't know how many, but if you write their names and numbers down, I will get you that empirical evidence that you so need.
One of them delivers pizza for Papa John's.
Now, see, okay, now I got to ask you this. How troubling would it be? Consider, go back to your late teens, right? Now, imagine... that you are somewhere with some of your friends, your compatriots, the folks that you fooled around with and got in trouble with, and out comes your mother sporting just a pert-ass C-rack, low D-rack, just looking like she's ready to go out and hit the pole.
Okay.
Could you imagine that they would have done it?
I see. So probably better we don't use my mother as an example. Remember, my mom tried to pick you up.
How you doing? Well, okay, so moms in general, okay? I can't imagine those things being a big seller. Now, granted, at the time, the procedures would have been much more barbaric and much more hit or miss with lots of toxic things jammed in them. But, I mean, I know my mother has lived for a long, long time with toxic things jammed in her, so... it's just one of those things, but I can't imagine that having been a thing in the late 80s.
Yeah, I can't either, and God only knows what kind of effect it's had on kids as they come up today.
Stacy's mom, she's got it going on.
Yeah, I love that song, Fountains of Wayne. But what this does is this even language, right? We're seeing. One of the more interesting tweets that I see is, you know, like, why do we call them killer whales instead of sea pandas and things like that? Someone always thinks they have this new great novel word or novel concept to re-describe something.
Right.
You know, who called them raccoons instead of trash pandas? You know, shit like that.
And what if C-A-T spelled dog?
Exactly.
Yeah, that, you know, all those deep thoughts that only the stoners and the 22-year-olds can have.
Exactly.
But no, I mean, and it goes even further. It goes beyond that, right? I mean, it can be applied in any different way. But, you know, did you mean to refer to that person as a Latinx? No, I said Latina. No. Language shouldn't recognize gender. You need to go look at that language again.
You need to look at that language.
You need to look at the foundation of that language while you're at. But even as simple as, hey, did you commit that code? Yeah, I committed it to... the formerly known as Master.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're not allowed to use Master anymore. Did you bring the appropriately significant recordings to this studio? Oh, you mean the Masters? No. That's not. Did you change the break in your subservient cylinder? So, again, another example where it's not driven by geographic location or nearness to you. It's driven by a cause that you choose to commit yourself to.
Exactly. Some way that you identify yourself and you go, no, that's me right there.
Exactly.
That's me right there. Regardless of whether you fit in that group that you're advocating for. Because let's face it, we live in a day and time where it's apparently been somehow normalized that a white person can come up to you and tell you that you're describing Latinos wrong.
Right.
Wait, what? How do you get a vote? I've been to Taco Bell before. I have opinions. Thank you, Becky. Thank you.
Well, no, I read it. One of my favorite people that I follow on social media is of Hispanic descent. Oh, so they speak Spanish? Well, they're Mexican. Yeah, but do they speak Spanish or do they speak Mexican?
And again, I'm not even trying to judge the Latino-ness of people. I am not interested. What I am interested in is, why are you picking this fight? Why are you picking this fight over over something like that? Something like, for example, Latinx?
I read about it, and it's a cause that I feel very strongly about. And, you know, I can really sympathize with those people. And I'm a good and I'm a valid person, and I've got this time, and I want to make sure that you understand exactly how you're wrong.
Exactly. It's these people picking up, a lot of times, these sort of random individualistic causes that they will use in an effort to make themselves feel better about themselves, or in an effort to make them feel like they're improving themselves.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a 19-year-old girl dressing you down for dressing like Pocahontas for Halloween when 3 years ago she dressed as Princess Jasmine. Well, yes, but 3 years ago we didn't know. You're on the wrong side of history.
You're on the wrong side of history.
Well, apparently history was made 14 months ago. Right. Because
is that when history started?
Apparently so. I mean, I went out as a wife, who was it? The Village People cover band, and they were all culturally appropriate. And I was like, okay, so you're a construction worker, obviously. Well, no, I'm a dentist. I just, do this at night. Oh, okay, so you're just now assuming. Okay, and I bet you're not even indigenous. Well, I mean, to where? I'm indigenous to a lot of things, but if you're asking if I'm an Indian, we don't use that term.
I'm Native American. I was born in Hoboken.
You are a primary American. You are
as opposed to all the auxiliary Americans we have.
You were here first. Don't take that bullshit from him, cis hetero white male.
But that's the point, is that people are. And like I said, a lot of it, and we've discussed before.
It's choice. At the end of the day, it's choice.
It has to do with the age. It's kids figuring out where they're at. In this case, the millennials.
But here's the thing. And then the Zoomers. We poke a lot of fun at the millennials, and let's face it, it's a lot easier to make fun of the 22-year-old Ayn Rand, reading, psychology or sociology major. It's a lot easier to make fun of her, especially in an audio format,
right,
than it is to make fun of a 47-year-old Karen, who's now doing the same thing. Open up your Twitter feed. Ignore the people that are out there pushing for a cause, and that's why they're on Twitter. Go look at the people that you follow that you actually read the things they say, whether you follow them because they're into GURPS or D&D or because they're coders or because they're from Texas or whatever it is, the thing that got you to follow them.
Right.
And look at how many of them, regardless of their age, race, or sex, have jumped on some of these bandwagons.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, to have a 45-year-old neckbeard that I follow because he's got some good Linux tips turn around and tell me that I'm mansplaining. That's, wait a second, hold on. What? Well, no, it's just I feel very strongly that you need to be taught that what you're doing is wrong.
Well, and that's the deal, because everybody's, and we'll get to this more in just 1 second, but everybody's so fucking convinced that they're right, that they're somehow burdened with this glorious purpose of making the universe better.
Right, and what made you right? I mean, and that's the thing, and you know, we talked a lot about, you know, these regional cultures and these things that we have in common simply from being from the same geographic area.
Right.
And I would argue that a lot of them are vestigial. They're remnants of kind of this time when everything was a little bit bigger. We didn't blend as much, right?
Right.
I would argue that the only true regional kind of we hold these things to be part of what we are has basically been reduced to sports. The only sense that we can all agree on is that the team in our town is either great or they blow. That's about the only thing that I would argue that you could get the majority of people to agree on inside the loop in Houston.
Well, and I used to think that it was kind of a thing that it was just, you know, people using hyperbole. But the simple fact of the matter is that sports are the most fun either A, when your team just fucking rules, or B, when your team is just fucking awful.
See, and I'm from Cleveland, so I've been taught, always assume that everything's going to go to shit. And then that way, if you actually do something good, you get to celebrate. Because there's not a Browns fan alive that sits and goes, oh, they fumbled again.
Yeah.
Oh, they fumbled again. It's the, he caught it!
And let's face it, Cleveland is the one town that really should go ahead and win a championship sometime soon, because I'm pretty convinced that there's nothing left in Cleveland worth riding and burning.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Was it Tasha that did a joke about the ISIS guys flying over and going, oh my God, are they okay down there? Is there anything we can do to help them?
Oh God, that's terrible.
People live there?
Go help Detroit. Cleveland can get by. Go help Detroit. But no, we have this weird sort of dichotomy that we go to, you know, somewhere caught between this social contract and our desire and need to kind of be a part of, belong, and improve society, and that kind of weird need to identify, understand, and be our best self. We're kind of caught in this weird pot, right? Where we somehow think we're all representative of the average, and yet at the same time, we're all under the belief that we're exceptional.
Right. Right. How can I be like everybody else if everybody else is so shitty compared to me?
Well, and it's... I used to have an ex who would say, and this is not a joke, she would say, you know, I have this weird self-esteem issue where I hate myself, but I still think I'm better than everyone else.
Right.
Yeah. It was like, and that's how I should have, that should have been a red flag right there, by the way. But
you never learn.
And it's more, it also gets complicated when you talk about what you believe to fit in. Right?
Right. And how far you're willing to take that belief.
Well, and how far you're, say, willing to compromise. Right? Because, you know, we see people, I know I keep a pretty, I do my best to actively try to keep an eclectic group of ideas on my Twitter feed. And when I say eclectic, I mean, there are some weirdos in the feed, in the non-show Twitter.
Sure. Sure. Well, I mean, to be fair, it's Twitter. There's weirdos everywhere. And quite frankly, the furries and the guys wearing clown makeup in their profile pics, they're not the weird ones anymore. They're not the weird ones. The weird ones are the 40-something-year-old Java programmers who have decided that they are going to go on, you know, a Don Quixote-esque fucking jaunt to support whatever hill they're willing to die on this week.
Well, so, again, in forming this social contract, in finding an in-group you can belong to.
Right.
Right. You know, while still maintaining your own personal identity, sometimes you may find yourself compromised, right?
Right. But I mean, that's come to the thing. So there's not a lot of money. There's not a lot of power. So, you know, aside from your time, the only other thing you really have to throw into the fire as sacrifice is that little bit of you, well, right? Hey. I'm willing to give this up in order to be accepted by this group or be seen as a thought leader. Remember when that was the goal? I would like to be a thought leader. Now it's, I want to be an influencer.
Influencer. We just called them trend pimps when I was a kid.
I just call them chatty bitches. I mean, yeah, I know. You're the guy who puts out 700 tweets a day and you ain't got but one thing to say. There's more intellectual honesty in the Pimp My Podcast Twitters than there are in a lot of these folks.
Yeah, problem is that intellectual honesty in most of those Pimp My Podcast things is, oh my God, did you see wrestling last night? I saw wrestling last night. Let's talk about wrestling.
Do you remember that one time?
You remember that one time?
And the Undertaker threw Mankind off the top of the stage of Hell in a Cell.
God bless you, Shitty Moore, wherever you're at. For someone who I've never met, and for someone who I've never actually read a single word of his text.
Well, it's because my delivery is so good, dude. Think of all the comics that you wouldn't enjoy if I didn't deliver their material to you.
You're the only person who can make Patton Oswalt funny, because he damn sure can't.
I'm a firm believer in a ruling class.
Well, so what you kind of get trapped in is either you will begin to modulate and even restructure ideas to affect yourself into a social contract, into some sort of in-group, right? Well, for example, one of the guys on the non-show Twitter makes the case, and he makes actually a pretty good one, that not only should guns be legal, but any weapon that the U.S. has available to it, to its military, should be available to its citizens at an affordable price.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I know who made that point.
Well, and maybe you are, but his logic isn't necessarily flawed. Now, I'm not willing to go that far with gun rights, right? Even though, yes, folks, I do own a pistol. I'm not willing to go that far, but you can see how just modulating a bit, just pivoting a bit,
right?
I go from being, well, yeah, I think people ought to be able to, you know, own pistols, right, to, oh my God, everyone should have nukes. Wait.
I need a flamethrower.
I need a flamethrower. But the other extreme for that, though, is maintaining and absolutely preserving all of those ideas and positions that you hold now, and not tweaking or modulating or rounding off the edges to any of them, and then you're an island of one.
Right.
You are absolutely terminally self-absorbed.
Right. And as we've talked about before, you know, it's okay to reassess your position. It's okay to apply your experiences and the things that you've learned and let those inform your opinion, right? Those things will change and should change.
Well, and that's kind of the thing, is that when you do that, someone's going to call you a traitor. And when you do that, even your new in-group will view you somewhat suspiciously.
Right, well, because we didn't agree with the things that you said when you were in that group. However, as you shifted to our opinion, we couldn't help but notice that you treated them rather poorly.
And see,
and how long is it going to be before the next new thing comes along and you're no longer part of us? Well, we can't have that.
Right.
We can't have that. So we buckle under and we toe the line and we hold the party line, despite the fact that if anybody else were to ask us, we would not advise that. We will encourage people to go out be their best self and live their best life. And the whole time we encourage these people to do that, what a lot of us are doing is we are carefully cultivating the part of us that sells and slowly but surely disowning the parts that don't, regardless of how important they may be to us.
Well, and that's something that's weird. I'm never really comfortable with letting a society define me to that extent.
Right, but never has a society been more willing to do it for you.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't have to ask. You don't have to allow. No permission is sought. You are being weighed and measured, and they are reporting on you daily.
Oh, absolutely. And we even actually did a show on this. Do you remember the one where if we don't label ourselves, other people will try to label us for us?
Right.
And no, I don't actually need you to run your weird fucking taxonomy on me. I know where I fit in the world. I'm a grown-ass man.
Right.
No, you're... You're a center right libertarian.
You almost said libtard. You almost said it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of something, and it's no different in TTRPGs. Oh well, you know, you're just a gamist narrativist. Well, yeah, of course, because that's kind of the fucking game, you asshole.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you guys ever shut up? You realize this entire game is talking.
Right.
That's what. There's no joysticks here. We're not button mashing. There's no Konami code that's going to get you out of here faster. Sit down and shut up.
Right. Sit down. Pick up your fucking dice. Roll them, and let's kill an ogre. But no. So because we have this dichotomy, right? This whole cogito ergo sum, right? I think, therefore I am. And I know what I've seen. I know the experiences that I've seen. And now what we do to get that validation is we will go out and we will find some, you know, quote unquote expert that believes the way we do.
Right.
And then, of course, that validates us, right? Not only do I not just think, therefore I am, I think, therefore I'm smarter than you.
Right.
Because I have this other, dubiously qualified oftentimes.
This other, and even if they're eminently qualified, right? Changing your belief simply because someone you respect told you to doesn't always work in your favor. That is an issue. But I mean, there was a time when you were allowed to point out things that were fallacious or things that were just out of the norm, right? There was a time to go, oh, you know, Bob, he's one of those loonies who thinks there's Bigfoots running around in the woods. What a dipshit. And that was acceptable. But now, even though everybody in the room might agree that Bob is a complete dipshit for chasing around after Bigfoot, there are now a section of people who have given up that piece of them that is allowed to acknowledge that because it is more important to them that they protect Bob from people who are judging him. Who are you to judge Bob? Have you ever seen a Bigfoot? No. Okay, but that doesn't mean one doesn't exist. Have you ever seen any number of things that you believe exist? And it's just, it's that level of when you've sold your soul in order to stay in a particular group or portray a particular image, then there's no good that can come of that, in my opinion. I don't know how you hold up your entire perception of yourself.
Well, just to go ahead and take that other perspective, you know, if that society had told Bob that he's an asshole because there is no Bigfoot, right, that is sort of society socializing them, trying to change Bob to get his ideas to fit, in this case, reality.
Right.
But also whatever the society believes, right? For example, in what is arguably, at least in the modern day, a pretty benevolent idea, evangelical Christians will go out and preach the good word.
Right.
Right? They'll come, they'll knock on your door, whatever, whatever, whatever. And I'm sure these people believe they're doing that from the best of intentions. And yes, distant history is the past, right? So I'm not really talking about Francisco Pizarro and the Incas here, but right. You know, or the Christian invasion of South America. But we socialize people all the time, and it's because we'll get together as a group, we'll make a decision, and go, "Hey, this is what we do, and this is how we do it." Barbecue is a great example. I don't know where you're at as you listen to this show. But there are some people for whom barbecue sauce is a sugary, tomatoey, sometimes a little spicy, but it'll be like a reddish-brown color.
Right.
Right. And there are other people, vile, despicable people who live on the East Coast, evil, tiny fucking demons who think that barbecue sauce has something to do with vinegar. Because those people are broken on the inside, at least gastrointestinally. They pull their pork, dude. I don't even know what that means.
Okay, first of all, pulled pork is fucking fantastic. So your heathen ass can back up.
Pork is for chops and sausage.
No, dude, you know what? When I moved to Houston and walked into a barbecue place and they handed me a ham steak. I said, give me the brisket and the fucking pork. And they gave me brisket and a fucking ham steak. It's not breakfast. The only time you should be handing me a fucking ham steak is at breakfast.
Okay.
And fuck your links too. I'm sorry. Oh my God.
It's not just links, dude. I will eat pork until the day I die, no matter what religion I may ever become. I am an atheist and I fully intend to be an atheist until the day I die. But if I became Jewish or Muslim tomorrow, I would still die eating pork. Because it is very much between like prosciutto, capicola, salami, bologna, all that, so much. Especially Italian lunch meat comes from pigs because that's what'll fucking grow in Italy.
Dude, if you put barbecue sauce on a ham steak or a goddamn sausage link, there's something fundamentally broken about you. And I respect your right and your individual unique nature to do what makes you happy, and that's fine, but I will always fucking judge you harshly.
Okay. when the sausage wars begin, you'll be the first battered against the wall. But more importantly, right, so we have this thing where you think, therefore I am, and then we have this thing where I think like this expert, therefore I'm right. But then we also have this other problem, right, where we're kind of confused in this notion that if we think differently, if all of a sudden nobody listens to us, right, or nobody thinks like us.
By going along, you're just, you know, you're contributing to someone else's rise.
Well, no, we think that that makes us somehow insightful or smarter. We give in to this conceit, like, you know, you were talking earlier, you know, Bob and his example with the Bigfoot.
Right.
I'm sure that Bob's like, no, I know Bigfoot. I saw that motherfucker. Right. It could have just been, you know, Roy testing out his new fucking ghillie suit so he could fucking hunt deer or whatever. But that dude knows what he saw. And all of a sudden, everybody looking in on him going, no, dude, that's not what you fucking, you don't tell me what I saw. I know what my experience was.
Walked right up to my truck, looked me in the face and went, Goony Goo Goo. Had to be a Bigfoot.
Bitch cannot climb a flight of steps.
Bet she climbed the fuck out of a tree.
Folks, go listen to Eddie Murphy Delirious. It just, you need to hear that.
Fantastic stuff for this day and age. Go do it. Stop right now. Pause. We'll be here.
But we've, this is something that is, I don't know if it's uniquely American. I don't think it's uniquely American, but it is very intrinsically American, this idea of the way we've taken this idea of individuality. You know, when we were writing up the show and I was thinking about, you know, that, you remember those Apple ads, the Think Different ads?
Right.
And it's, you know, Picasso and Einstein, and it just says Think Different.
Right.
Well, look, folks, I have some really crushingly bad news for you. You may have ideas that are different from a lot of people's, but odds are you're not Einstein. I mean, I'm trying to put
real
that
real good odds.
Yeah,
real good odds.
I'm trying to put that delicately to you, but these people who are one of the other Apple commercials. You remember the Orwell 1984,
yeah,
where she goes, she hucks that hammer at the
market. Right. Yeah, shedding the bonds.
Oh God, yeah. Right, and we have this idea that if we think differently, somehow we are revolutionary, we are right, we are insightful.
Just as many stupid ideas outside the box as there are in the box. Stupid is as stupid does.
And sometimes you don't, if you are unwilling to have your ideas vetted in some way, you're going to make a lot of stupid decisions. You are going to shoot all 10 of your toes off.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Fortran. But what this does is that this idea that if we think differently, we're thinking correctly, that somehow, you know, marching to the beat of our own drummer.
Exactly.
Right. That's
which is, in my mind, marching to the beat of our own drummer is just the 70s version of you go live your best life.
You go live your best life. Well, and that's okay, except for the fact that limiting yourself only to your experiences and your cognitive capacity, it sort of creates an internal feedback loop.
Right.
Right? Where you know what you saw, even though maybe that's not what you saw, because human perception's flawed, and I know what I remember.
I saw something big in the woods, and it wasn't normal. So, and we're not in Mexico, so it wasn't a chupacabra.
And then what's funny is that now people have gotten so fucking deranged that if Roy goes up to Bob and says, No, Bob, you asshole. It was me, Roy, in my ghillie suit. I came up, I knocked on your truck door, and I said, beer? And you freaked out and hauled ass.
Well, now you're just making shit up to make me look bad.
Or worse yet, you're in on it.
Yeah, exactly. He's one of them.
He's one of them. You're in league with Bigfoot.
Would that be Big Bigfoot?
I don't know.
You're in league with Big Pharma, Big Oil, Big Bigfoot.
Big Bigfoot.
Big creature. Everything about Bigfoot is big, so it doesn't work.
There were like 10 Land Before Time movies. I can't believe there was never a Big Littlefoot.
Littlefoot had to get big, right? Well, no, I mean, that story, none of them really got a whole lot older. Hey, just in case you're young and you don't know this, The Land Before Time doesn't end well. It starts bad, and it only goes downhill. There's some bright moments, sure. There's some bright moments, but you take those. Take those while you can, because the rest of the ride's a little rocky.
Well, because that's the deal, right? That's the deal, right? If you want to get all fucking... You want to get all fucking existential angsty, dude. It's not your death you're marching towards. Every step you take towards death ushers the human race to extinction.
The Land Before Time, written by Charles Bukowski.
Exactly.
We're all dying, Littlefoot.
We're fucking,
you're just going first.
Who's that melancholy cookie-looking monster? Sartre. Jean-Paul Sartre.
Melancholy. Bitch look like Buddy Holly from the fucking Imperial Renaissance.
Look like somebody slapped the shit out of old age Buddy Holly.
You know, I watched a documentary the other day. You know who put those goddamn glasses on Buddy Holly? The Everly Brothers.
Okay.
He was wearing his grandma glasses. They go, dude, you got to get some different glasses. And they put those big-ass order of glasses on. I don't know why I thought that was pertinent, but now you know.
And knowing is half.
Thank you, Snapple.
Okay, so we have this. So what we've really set up here is we've set up this duality between the one and the many, right? The self and the social.
Right.
Right, and that's kind of the paradigm that we've set up here. And how do we resolve it, right? And as it turns out, this isn't just an epistemology problem, but to a certain extent, it's also a metaphysical one.
Sure.
Right, so epistemology is what we know. Metaphysics is more about what is real. Okay, so they're kind of close.
What is love?
Baby, don't hurt me.
Yeah, you're right. It's almost that time of season where we got to do a music show.
Folks, he's teasing you because I have I issued something of a challenge with him, and we'll get to that another show. But I think he's percolating his music show episode soon. But so because one of the ways that we can resolve this, you know, how do I judge my flawed perception and my flawed cognition, especially my flawed memory, how can I adjust that and use that to measure and check against the other things that we see, right? And trying to figure out what are real, you know, what is real, what are the facts, and you know, what are the data, and how did we get here?
Right.
I was looking at Gelman amnesia, right, where you have this weird phenomenon where, like, if you go and you flip through a newspaper and you read about something that you know about.
Right.
Right? And then you look at that newspaper article and you're like, oh, God, that's crap. Who's the fucking seventh grader who wrote this? And then you go and read the rest of the paper believing that's absolutely going to be true.
Right.
The rest of the paper is going to be surely factually accurate. They just fucked up my article, right?
Right.
Nope. They're fucking it all up. So, but that kind of thing, right, inhibits you a bit. And knowing where to draw, because, I mean, knowing that that's a thing, knowing that, let's face it, the newspaper, the media, especially in our modern contemporary right. era, is a very, very flawed institution.
Well, certainly, but the fact of the matter is it's still input. And the input has to actually be parsed. If you just turn it on and go, well, okay, this is Fox News, I'm not going to believe a word they say. Why did you turn it on?
Right. Well, because I want to know how they're lying.
I need to know the shitty things they say so I can tweet about it. I'm live streaming this to my tweet deck so that I can make snide comments and be a pseudo fact checker. Bitches.
But no, it does make for an interesting problem because we can only measure our accuracy so well. Like I said, because we get very, very caught up in the feedback loop of, no, I know what I saw. I know what I experienced. I know what my truth is. But at the same time, your truth may not be the objective one. It's why we have shit to measure shit.
Right. Again, it goes back to you can feel free to explore and experiment, right? You can put forward new meanings for words. You can put forward ideas that, you know, maybe they seem new to you. Maybe they're just regurgitated. Maybe you've improved them somehow. You are free to do all these things. What you're not free to do is to assume that everyone will take them as valid simply because you found 17 more average people like you who are willing to tell you how bright you are.
Well, and that's kind of the weird thing, right? Because the whole concept of democracy, the whole concept of majority rules or something like that, it becomes very, very weird and complicated, right? Because whatever your whatever your field of excellence is, right? Let's say, for example, you are the world's best photographer, right? And, you know, five guys get together and go, no. Ansel Adams, you know, black and white pictures are crap.
Right.
And you can say, well, you know, no, they're not crap. I mean, you may not like them, and that's okay. But there are certain objective properties to them that make them good. I can't say they're the greatest because that level of like gets to be a little subjective. But I can tell you objectively, there's a lot of stuff to like in his work.
Right.
Right. But no, there's five of them, and there's only one of you.
Right. Well, so they have to be right.
Why? Exactly.
Well, because in a free market capitalist society, the five of them would not buy any of his work. So therefore, it is not good.
Well, and that's weird. And that's weird because one of us, you know, between the guy who knows a lot about photography and the five guys who, you know, probably studied, I don't know, accounting, biology.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it. It doesn't make me feel good about me.
Right, right. It didn't change the way I view the world at all. Didn't make me rethink what makes me me.
Yes. So somehow they feel like they have just as much opinion as this other guy. And of course, this photographer, right? He's got a degree, I assume, in whatever photographers get degrees in. Yeah, I don't know. A clicky shutter Kodak or whatever.
I've got a bachelor's degree in taking pictures.
I got a bachelor's degree in Polaroidology. I had to shake my diploma for 10 minutes for it to
melt. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Still worth more than my University of River Phoenix. But no, here's the thing. Every single one of them is correct in the fact that they have a right to an opinion. What they don't have a right to is to enforce everyone's belief in their opinion. And that's kind of where we've lost things, right? Six or seven people were upset that we committed code to master and slave. They were upset. Okay, that's fine. And you were not guaranteed to go through your life not being upset. What we were guaranteed was something that sticks in your ass and gives you a problem doesn't have to become a problem for us.
That is your ass, therefore it is your problem.
Exactly. And that's kind of where we've lost things, right? In this glossing over of culture, in this glossing over of demographics, it's impossible to serve any one demographic anymore. To sit down and say, okay, you know, the traditional things, right? Like you see the Nielsen ratings and things like that. Oh, kids between the ages of 18 and 24, we're doing great in that market. That market doesn't really, I mean, kids between those ages still exist.
Right.
But I think any modern school of thought on marketing is going to tell you that trying to create a product that appeals to that demographic is going to be very hit and miss. And they're going to tell you, you need to dial that scope way down because there's a lot of different micro demos that live inside that.
Well, we say that. And yet, the running joke is, these days, we've got the whole internet, in front of us and we still only go to the same four websites.
Right.
You know, we all go to, I don't know, Reddit, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook.
Pornhub.
Yeah, Pornhub. Okay, fuck it, we'll go with that.
I mean, Pornhub's gone a little mainstream for me.
Oh my God.
But
I know, whenever they started using domestic goats.
Yeah, gothtrocity.net is usually where you'll find me hanging out. I moderate several popular forums at gothtrocity.net.
Of course you do.
I'm also starting a new site called Your Mom Goes to College.
What?
I'm having a little problem with the talent. They all want to speak to my manager. I love that boomerang shit. I love when you look at me for just half a second, like, what the fuck are you talking about before it hits you?
Your mom goes to college. And you know what it is? It's some fucking 45-year-old Karen trying to use sex to get a professor to upper grade. And she's like bent over a lab table going, this isn't what I asked for. This isn't what I asked for.
And this is why you get a C. I mean, technically you performed the act. Things were completed, but there was no enjoyment to be had. So therefore, C minus.
And she's going to have this. She's going to have this blushing, just moistly sweaty orgasm. I've had better. Yes. And I'll take the C. It's like, bitch, you got laid in a grade. What do you want?
I'll be back at midterms.
I'll be back at midterms. You don't know my story.
I know your story, and I'm going to tell your husband, too.
Oh, shit. But aside from that, what matters is we hear a lot about how representation matters, and it does. What? What? Holy shit. What the fuck?
Nothing. Nothing.
Okay.
I just looked at the clock. That's all.
Dude, we got 5 minutes and we're actually moving on a pretty decent clip.
Carry on, my wayward son.
So, there is a commonality to your ideas that kind of needs to get out there, because if you can't win in the marketplace of ideas, you can't really get any traction for an idea that you have, no matter how novel and new and different it may be. But just trying to get that traction means that you're playing the game, you're buying into that social contract. So it kind of, again, it puts you in that weird boundary lines. And like I said, you always run the risk that you're just plain flat out wrong.
Right.
Whether it's a political idea or a scientific idea or a medical idea or a legal idea or whatever. There is always a chance where somebody's going to pipe up and go, no, you asshole, we tried that. It doesn't
right.
work.
And we've talked about this in prior seasons, in prior yeah. episodes, right? It's never a sin to be wrong. It's a sin to not learn from that. So to say to not learn from it is a sin, then to actively ignore something you know is wrong in order to maintain some facade has got to be doubly so.
Yes.
It's got to be that there's a special place in hell level of wrong.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of the problem. You know, when truth becomes something that you divide up into hills and then decide which one you want to die on, we might have gone a little too far.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the alternative facts or the alternative truths or, you know, whatever level of truthiness you want to get to.
Right.
At some point in time, there's got to be a reckoning. And the question then becomes, how do we pull these people back? How do we, and I say these people, I'm part of these people, you're part of these people.
We're all these people.
To a certain extent. But, you know, there used to be a desire. There used to be a time when we looked at people that had knowledge and had experiences and shared those things with the rest of folks, and we admired them. In some cases, we revered them, right? Right. You want to look at the religious angle. You want to look at even the political angle. But at what point in time do we realize that perhaps we have outrun our headlights here? In our goal to look somehow evolved, we have managed to divide life up so neatly that there is now technically a right side of history and a wrong side of history. And I guess in the closing moments, I'd like to remind people that even from things that are determined, that you determine to be on the wrong side of history, positive things were taken. You learn a lot more in your failures than you do in your successes. And as a country and as a society, you're going to make you're going to have these problems.
Yeah.
As one of the youngest societies out there, it's only natural that we would fuck up larger and faster and more often.
Well, we're young. We got a lot of vim.
But, I mean, this is also the thing that has kind of made the rest of the world look to us. They don't look to us because we're all brilliant. They don't look to us because we're all beautiful. They look to us because we fail forward fast, which means we win more often because we're not afraid to back away.
Well, much like natural evolution, we'll literally try a bazillion different things. The vast majority of them are fucking
over, under, around, or through.
Yeah, exactly.
That didn't work. Ouch, quit it. Ouch, quit it. Bingo.
Fuck it. And then we go ahead and we take this victory lap around the world.
For about 2 decades. Then we get a little cranky and we're ready for a nap, so we bomb some shit. And then we take a nap. And when we wake up, things have changed a little bit. And let's face it, to be completely fair, the older white guys have to give a little, and then the cycle repeats.
I don't even know about that, dude. But, you know, when we talk about how to resolve it, I know, and I got to get this in here. You need to take time to figure out who's right and who's wrong And sticking to that good, objective, hard data is how you do it. It's not going to solve all your problems. You know, last week when we did the episode on logical positivism, we looked at the areas where things like the scientific method are going to be weak.
Right.
We looked at the areas of how belief in a data set is belief in itself. And maybe that's not the most rational thing,
right,
but it's kind of intrinsic in the form, or inherent in the form. So we kind of do it. So I'm going to tell you, let your first strategy be that logical positivist of verifiable factual ground.
Right.
Now, again, just like we were talking last week, you know, you can't say that guy's experienced, you know, 38 Hitler's worth of racism in his lifetime. Right. Right. But you can, well, you just can't. And so you kind of have to, the other squishier, softer things, right, sometimes you just kind of got to feel your way through a little
when
bit.
When you don't know the answer, going with your gut is an acceptable way to pick. When you know the answer, yet your gut tells you that the opposite of that is what you should do, then you need to step back and you need to look at what you're doing. Why am I making this choice? Does the pretty girl think this and I want her to like me? Does the group that I'm currently a part of like this and I want them to, you know, to still be a part of the group? Whatever those motivations are, you have to decide if you're willing to give away that bit of yourself and do something that you know is not logical or outright wrong,
right,
in order to maintain the status quo.
Exactly. And that's really a lot of what this episode has been. Because when we look at it, and, you know, we're all kind of drawn and we're torn between, you know, the identity of self and our social identity, it's really, really difficult sometimes for us to make the good calls about what we should give up as parts of ourselves and what we should hold on to. What we should accept from society is now a functional part of our identity, and what we should reject, and how much of that can you do? And because if you accept all of society, you're very much in an in-group, but you're very little you anymore.
Right.
And if you accept none of society, well, you're still all you and only you.
Exactly. So as usual, folks, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to put some ideas in your head, trying to get you guys to think a little bit about some of these things that we thought were interesting enough to talk about them for an hour. What we'd like to close with is a particular quote that we think is something that you can take with you into your whatever the rest of your day looks like, because hopefully you're home from work now. If your commute takes this entire podcast, I'm going to tell you right now, guys, find a job closer to home. You'll live longer. But G.K. Chesterton has a quote here that kind of fits this show perfectly. And the quote is as such. I came to the conclusion that the optimist thought everything good, I came to the conclusion that the optimist thought everything good except the pessimist. And that the pessimist thought everything bad except himself. So stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
There you go, folks. G.K. Chesterton quote. And you know what? That seems pretty fitting.
It seems kind of fitting. So that's going to do it for this week. Come back next week when we talk about the perils of walking your dog in the inner city at night.
Okay. We'll do that.
Does that sound good? I don't want to do the music show yet. We're not ready for that.
Okay.
But until then, guys, have a great week. We will see you next time. Until then, I'm still Thundersnow.
And I'm still the Wiggle Rat.
Peace.